Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, as a nurse, she experienced a lot of difficult situations, but she didn't expect to check on a patient and see a tall, black, hooded figure leaning over her patient.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yeah, 855-853-4802, the phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. And if you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, check it out on Apple Podcasts, on our premium channel there. Even try it for free. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Let's jump into our first phone call of the day at 855-853-4802.
Hi. My name is Courtney, and I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 17 years. I've had several experiences, some good, some bad, but I'm going to discuss the kind of first experience that I've had with the paranormal outside of my personal life. I am very sensitive, and I've sensed things in the past, and I have many stories, so if you'd like to hear any more, I would be more than happy to call back. But this story is related to my job as a nurse. I had been a nurse for about a year and a half, and I worked on a regular floor at the time, and I had, you know, six patients. I worked nights, and I had this one patient, an older lady, who was passing away, and she was in a room that was all the way down the end of our west hallway on the right hand side, and it's what we call a isolation room. So it has an ante room, which is the room in front of it, and then the room you go into that, and then the patient's room is through another door, and it's for patients in isolation for tuberculosis or measles or any airborne type infection. She didn't have any of that, but that was the room that she was in at the time. The hard thing about this room is unless you go all the way into the ante room and turn slightly to the right, you can't see the patient's bed from the hallway door. And there was a glass window on that door. So you had to go all the way in to see it. So I'd gone in and I had, you know, went in to introduce myself to the family. And I went into this room and there was no family. And I was really kind of puzzled, and she's laying there, obviously comfortable. We've given her some medicines to keep her comfortable. And so I stepped out and I went to my charge nurse and said, hey, there's no family or anybody for this patient in this room. And she said, oh, yes, she has three kids. They said she was a horrible human being in life, terrible, terrible person, super abusive, just a dark human being. No one loved her anymore. No one liked her. She had no friends, and they don't care that she dies. It couldn't happen quick enough. And so just call them when it's over, and then call this company that will come pick her up and cremate her for a like really low price. It was kind of what we had for, you know, there was no service. There were no memorial. There was none of that. They just wanted her dead and gone. And so that made me feel kind of sad because, you know, I was still very young and I knew people like that existed out there, but I just never really felt it and experienced it. And I try to be with folks at the end of life because that's really, really important. I think having support and love around them helps them maybe pass a little bit more peacefully and easier. So I kind of stilled myself and said, wow, that's really terrible. Went on with my night. And then at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, my telemetry tech, the person who watches the EKG, said, hey, your patient in that room, her heart rate has stopped. Like, she no longer has a heartbeat. And so can you go check on her? So I said, sure. I finished up what I was doing. And I went down the end of that hallway, and I walked into the ante room. And I suddenly was hit with this wall of just sorrow, pain, like physical agony in my body, cold chills, hot flush, like all of these feelings all at one time. And I was like, it was like walking into a noxious fog. And I was just kind of not thinking anything of it. And I walked forward and I turned slightly right. Sorry, it makes me kind of freaked out thinking about this again. I looked straight ahead once I turned slightly right, and some of the lights in the room were on, so it wasn't completely dark. And in the on the left-hand side of her bed, toward, at the head of the bed, there was a huge, tall, 10-foot-tall, black hooded figure. And it was leaning down over her head of her bed, down onto her, like reaching. And I kind of say it's like, you know, if you were taking your hands to do like a diamond push-up, kind of close in proximity like that, reaching down towards her. And I immediately freak out, turn heel, and run out of there. I noped out of there so fast because it was horrifying. And I run down to the end of the hall, and I get my charge nurse, and I said, oh my gosh, there's something in her room. And she said, what are you talking about? And I'm pale, I'm sweaty, I'm on the verge of tears, like I am right now. And I said, something's in her room. It was like a demon or something. And my charge nurse said, oh, I totally believe you. You know, people that are evil and things like that, I bet you a demon came from hell, or one of the devil's minions came to literally retrieve her soul. And I got cold chills everywhere. I was freaking out. I said, I am not going in that room alone. I need people to come with me. So the charge nurse, you know, her secretary at the time, had said, okay, we'll go with you. And they were both very, very religious, which I'm not as uber religious, but I have spiritual beliefs. And so she's like, we just need to pray that we're going to be protected. So say protection prayers about you, however you need to say it, like, you know, limiting entry or exit of anything into your body kind of a thing. So we're going down the hallway and we're whispering quietly while turning on all the lights and closing all the other patient doors so we don't disturb them, because we need some light to see what's going on. And we get down to that room, and, you know, we're saying these prayers of protection, you know, don't let anything touch me, nothing's allowed into me, please give us me strength to get through this and clear anything from evil from this building. And so we all three get to the door, and we kind of take a deep breath, and we walk in, and we turn on the anteroom light, because it's a big room, and we all take a breath again and turn towards the right to look at her bed. And there's nothing in there, just her laying in the bed, and obviously deceased. And she said, oh, thank God it's taken whatever it wanted to take, and it has left us in peace. And my charge nurse went over and said some prayers over her, and I'm quietly saying some protection prayers myself, and just feeling like super scared, but better. Like that oppressive feeling was gone. We pronounced the patient, then notified the family, etc., and then that's the end of the story. But it still causes me to have a visceral reaction just thinking about it, and I don't know if I explained it well enough or if I rambled, so if I did, I'm sorry. Thank you guys so much, and I really enjoy your podcast, and I hope you enjoy my story. Thanks.
That's, you know, kind of one of those where they, I guess the statement, let sleeping dogs lie. That's how I kind of feel about some people like that, where I get like she kind of has the, you know, she's the person who knows nothing about the horrible human being that everyone in their life has said, this person is basically evil. They're like, oh, they deserve a little attention at death. No, some people just don't. Some people can just kind of... I'm sorry, you have what you have coming to you, and if there's no one that gives a shit about you because you've treated everyone so horribly throughout your life, tough shit. I don't have a lot of pity for that sort of thing, but it seems like, okay, they got in there and you know, trying to show some compassion, and it's like borderline exorcism.
I think, too, when you
Because I've heard a lot of stories from people who are caregivers, mm-hmm. Whether it be nurses or doctors or whatever. And then you have a lot of stories about end of life, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those do come through. And I would like to think that we are all forgivable for the nasty stuff we've done in our life, because certainly we've all done some nasty stuff. But after you just said that, it's like, you know what? You know, maybe you're right. Maybe just best leave that alone.
Some people are just evil. Some people just live really... I mean, yeah, we all have done bad things. We've all done nasty stuff. And within reason, that sort of stuff can be forgiven. But there are some people who are just cruel and shitty and have caused nothing but torment and anxiety and trauma to every person they've ever interacted in their life just for their own ego and for their own attention-seeking ways. And... some people just get old and they go to the grave like that. I don't know, like, why at the end it's like, oh, fuck it. Like, the family seems to have made peace with it. They're like, no, they're a fucking horrible human being. We're not going to pretend they're something that they're not. That's what, you know, a lot of times when people are getting there, it's like, there's so much like, oh, let's pretend that this person really, you know, was this high achiever or did this or that was really, it's like, some people are just shitty people and they die. And that's the end of the story. I do applaud the obituaries that are out there where people really do lay out reality of what it was. And it's not some sort of like, you know, ChatGPT-esque generated story of, you know, grandioseness or some bullshit. It's just kind of like, yep, they were pretty shitty. They did this, they did that. And we're calling them out on it because why now is a better time than not to do that. So
I don't know how many of those are out there, but that could be a nice little feature on a podcast one day.
If there was enough, I'd make a podcast all about just reading shitty obituaries. Yeah.
You know, Aunt Helen was a bitch.
That could be like the title of the show, Shitty Obituaries. I just don't know that there's enough of them or enough people that are willing to be that honest about it. But right. we could make it where like people like use the show as the shitty obituary, like so-and-so died. I'd like to give the shitty obituary.
Yeah. And, yeah. Maybe you don't even have to give the name. You could just call them, like you said, Aunt Sally or something. And
it could be shitty eulogies too, where like people could actually deliver the shitty eulogy on the air. And we can play like bad organ music or something. Today's shitty eulogy.
I had to go to a funeral last week, and I just can't believe we still do the same thing for dead people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was at the funeral home in our hometown, basically, and it's the one that everybody kind of goes to up by the park. Mm-hmm. Same damn room, same damn paint, same damn furniture, same damn lights next to the coffin. You know, it's like, haven't we moved on from this?
No.
You and I had an idea of... like having a disco rave kind of funeral home or something like that.
Make it like a club. And it's a really cool, fun place. But you still have to serve Sanka, just like every funeral home does. If you don't have the Sanka, it ain't a funeral home at all. So that's my thoughts. Every funeral home I've been to, it's like there's no good coffee. It's like the crystal shitty instant. And this is not even like the good Starbucks stuff that exists now. It's like... the fucking Sanka, like, and you think the jar is probably from about 84, and it probably is because it lives on forever at funeral homes. I don't know.
And only five people have drank it in the last 40 years.
Exactly.
But they still keep that jar. Yeah.
Yet it still tastes exactly like it did in 84 completely. Even before they had expiration dates, it's still there. Anyway, if you like the show, become a supporter. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, our premium channel there. Patreon.com/RealGhostStories or GhostPodcast.com. While you enjoy a Sanka, half the audience has no idea what Sanka even is. Instant coffee, check it out. Folger's Crystals, another one to check out. All right, until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories online.